Today is the third annual Media Democracy Day, a good time to consider what makes our media democratic or not. Lila Chinia believes that opening the airwaves to a variety of voices, both as guests and producers, is a critical component of a truly democratic media. Lila is the program coordinator at Co-op Radio, and she joined us this morning to tell us about the new approach the station is taking to encourage diversity in its programming and to foster more grassroots participation. Good morning, Lila. Welcome as a guest to Red Eye.
Thanks, Lorraine. It's great to be here.
When you say a diversity of voices, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, I think diversity takes on a lot of different levels. And as you're mentioning, it's both the people who we choose to come on the airwaves as guests or who we call experts. But it's also who does radio, who makes those choices about who those guests are and who those experts are. So part of what we do at Co-op Radio and part of what the collectives that produce programming do is make those really difficult decisions about who gets to be the experts, who gets to be the guests. And part of what we're trying to do right now is also trying to diversify who some of the programmers are at Co-op Radio. And it's part of what we've been doing for 30 years. And we're just really trying to do more outreach in that respect.
What kind of challenges does that present? Because it's one thing to just kind of say, well, you sort of throw open the doors and, you know, anybody can come down here and apply for a program. But is that how it works?
I think it's such a good point because we do have our doors open, right? And anybody can come through the door and say, hey, you know, I'd like to have a program. But really what I've seen is that real diversity and real kind of our mandate really is to be a space for underrepresented and marginalized voices to have a space on the airwaves. And so in order to do that, it's not enough just to have your doors open. You actually have to go out the door and go to places where different communities are and ask them. And it's when people are asked, would you like to do a program? You know, have you ever thought about doing radio? Then they say yes, but those might not be groups that are so busy with their own, with issues of struggling day to day, with the issues of fighting back against all of the challenges that they're facing. They might not think of doing radio. They might not think of radio being a way to empower themselves of sharing their voices and of sharing their struggles and mobilizing around those efforts. But once you ask them, People will come. So one thing I've found actually is we've been doing a lot more outreach to different show ideas. And as we've got a programming committee here that kind of brainstorms ideas for new shows, and then we'll go out there and brainstorm, okay, where will we get the people to do those programs? And what we found is when we just sort of sit back and when program applications just come in unsolicited, I would say approximately 90% of those applications are by males, by men, usually white males. And when we go out into the community and actually solicit, you know, say we're interested in this idea, would you like to get involved? About 90% of the people getting involved are women, and we're trying to increase the diversity amongst the women now too. So it's really interesting that when you go out and ask, you get a different type of diversity in the people doing radio.
So that's interesting because you mentioned a certain kind of a divide, which is a divide along gender lines. What other areas do we kind of need to look at for where people don't have their voices represented in the media?
I think it's huge. And in fact, I mean, some of that we look at in the programming that we do. There's issues around ableism, issues around sexual orientation. We've got lots of queer programming on the station right now, but we need to diversify that. Issues along a race, First Nations programming, new immigrant programming. We've got a women of color programming, but we want to diversify that. And issues around class and issues around income level. But what's interesting is that rather than just try to do kind of community-based programming, what we can also try to do is have issue-based programming like a food show, a parenting show, a youth show, but encourage all that diversity within that interest base so that we want to get more First Nations voices, we want to get more queer voices, we want to get more women's voices within those issues that they're interested in rather than just kind of ghettoizing different communities.
Interesting approach. Now, I understand that you're developing a process, you've been working with a process that you hope will result in more participation and new programs that meet community needs. Can you describe what's involved in that process?
Yeah. like I was mentioning, we have a programming committee, which is a group of volunteers who are working on different shows already. And they really kind of come together once a month. They have a lot of responsibilities in the station. And one of the fun things that we do, I think it's the funnest part of the job, is they get to brainstorm ideas around new show ideas. And from there, once we've identified some gaps in our programming, really is what it is, looking at, for example, a couple years ago, we were looking at our programming guide and realizing, we don't have any storytelling, like a show just about storytelling. This is radio. We need storytelling. It's the perfect medium. So we went out there, and it took a little while. And the hardest part of this process is doing the outreach. So outreach, outreach, outreach. Outreach is the biggest step, and it takes a lot of time. So going out there, identifying different places where people might want to do storytelling. Another example is that we identified that we don't have a show by, for, and about parents and kids. So a year ago, we went out and asked different kind of different areas where there might be parents hanging out who might be interested in doing radio. So we went to the queer moms group, to the Moms on the Drive, there's the Hip Mamas, and so did outreach to different sort of like-minded organizations that would have parents in them. Then the next step is bringing those folks together and really having a brainstorming meeting. Part of that process is for people to get to know each other and see if they're along the same lines and if they could work together, because really they're going to have to work together. But part of it is also just to really start getting an idea of what are the different types of topics that could be covered in a show like this, and to get the energy level up. Then the next step that happens is we kind of meet again and really group some of those ideas together, because part of making really nice, consistent radio is to have some consistency week to week and having segments. So for example, the parenting show, it's called It Takes a Village, actually, and they're going to be starting up in November, Mondays from 2 to 2:30. And they decided on having a little rant section in every one of their shows, but they call it tantrum time, which is perfect. So just different like segments like that, that they know they want to get stuff off their chest, they're going to do it in that segment. And then what they do is they work towards, to have something concrete to work towards, because to do a radio show doesn't sound all that concrete to get people together. So to have something like an actual deadline, they prepare to do a special on co-op radio, and that gets them having a deadline. They have something that they have to prepare for. It's usually a theme-based program. So It Takes a Village, they did, their first special was on International Human Rights Day last year, December 10th, and they did a special about the rights of the child to play. So they use that as kind of a template for how they do their show, and they did a tantrum time all about that and all those different segments that they have in their show. And then that kind of goes through the process of co-op radio, which that becomes their demo tape and then goes to our programming committee for approval or not. And then they get a time. So now they're at the place where they've been approved and they've got a time slot, and they're going to be starting in November.
Sounds great. And I understand there's also a food show that you went out and worked with people.
Yeah, it's super exciting. We kind of identified, wouldn't it be cool to have a show about the politics of food? So we did some outreach with some different sort of food activist organizations, and a group got together consisting of local organic farmers, folks involved in the farmers market, food activists, nutritionists, even academics who were interested in the sociology of food, and just this real mix of people bringing a whole bunch of different perspectives together around food, and they're working on that. They just did a special last week called Goulash. That's the name of their show. So stay tuned for that, because I think they're really kind of moving forward now that the growing season's over. They're less busy with actually the making of food, and now they can make radio.
The making of food is never over with.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, you're giving a workshop in conjunction with Media Democracy at the Public Library today. What do you have planned for that? What kind of issues are you going to explore there?
Basically, we're going to look at kind of three different areas. One is it's a real hands-on workshop, participatory workshop, so definitely come down if you've got some energy to participate. We're going to look at how the mainstream media is not who's not being represented in the mainstream media particularly, and why that might be. Then we're going to look at these different aspects we kind of talked about, which is when we talk about representation, who are we talking about? So there's this whole idea of who gets to be, who's the experts, who are the guests, and who gets chosen, and then also the whole idea of who does the radio and who makes those choices. So we're going to cover those different aspects in a real hands-on way, and it's going to be today at the Vancouver Public Library. It starts at 3:30, goes till 5, that particular workshop. And I believe it's downstairs at the library when you come into the concourse.
Well, Lila, great. Thanks for coming in here. It's great to see you in here in the studio.
It's so great to be here. And I just want to quickly mention to folks who are listening and who would like to get involved in Co-op Radio, there are station orientations, so you can come and get involved. And they're always on the third Tuesday of every month. They're at 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. So just come on down to the station at 360 Columbia Street.
Great.